Hi there, and welcome to this episode of the Business Beyond Borders podcast. My name is Eric Snow, and I'm taking over the podcast from the U.S. I'm an entrepreneur, I work in the beer industry, and I'm part of the IBA team here in the States. I'm going to do four short episodes with Cynthia where I go over the information about the IBA for people who are potentially interested in getting involved. So Cynthia, thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, Eric. It's really cool to be sitting on the other side of the microphone on my show. Thanks for hosting.
So we're going to do four episodes. The first one is going to be about the why, as people consider why they would potentially want to expand their business internationally. The second is going to be about common mistakes people would make as they're starting out. The third is going to be about market research, which is critical for launch. Fourth is about the checklist of things you would need to do before you get started. So for people who may or may not be aware of what the IBA is, can you in a few sentences describe to people what it actually is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the International Business Accelerator is a program for business owners who are looking for a very structured pathway into international markets. Now, there are really three bits to this program. What we do is we help people create a great strategy that will ensure that they succeed when they take their business to a new country. So the second thing that we do is we give them the momentum. We help them create the momentum so that they actually get that strategy up and running. And the third thing that we do is we work with them to build the confidence that they can actually do what they've envisaged so that they can make the project a real success.
Sounds like it's going to be good for people. What do they actually do when they sign up and are part of the program?
That's another great question. So again, there are really three bits to the program. So the first one is around building capability. And each month we run a class for participants and we work on a small chunk of strategy. So we work on a piece of thematic content. That's a really interactive class and people will go away with a series of action points and some homework that they need to do. Then a couple of weeks later, they'll meet up with me for an individual coaching consulting session. And there we take what we've done in the class and we really refine it and we get our clients to apply what they've learned to their business. So we work on really creating their individual strategy, which is right for their company and for the market they're going to. Now, the third piece is the accountability piece, and that's where we put every participant in the program together with another person, another participant, and these people become accountability buddies. And the job of your accountability buddy is really to kind of keep you honest. So they're there to peer review your work and to tell you if your ideas are good or crazy. They're there to encourage excellence, and they're there to make sure that you keep your commitments and that you do what you say you're going to do.
I love it. So let's say I have a business in the US or in anywhere in the world and it's doing well and I'm loving life and I'm making the money that I want to make. Why would I want to add complications to my life by expanding it overseas?
Well, look, I guess it really depends what you want out of the business. So there are two questions here. How successful do you want to be? You know, do you want to just be kind of comfortable and do you want your business to be just good enough or do you want it to be totally extraordinary? And the other question is, what kind of impact do you want to make in the world? Let me kind of address the first bit first. You can do okay running a business pretty much wherever you are in the world just by staying home, but it's never going to be an extraordinary business. It's not going to be like one of the famous businesses that you hear about. And that is because depending on the market that you live in, you know, some are bigger than others, but if you stay in your home market, you lose access to a lot of people who could potentially be your customers. So you won't have access to as many people. And it's a little bit the same in terms of impact. You know, if you've got something that makes a real contribution to people's lives and solves a problem for them or for their business, and you want to make a huge impact, you should be getting that out to as many people as possible. You know, if you've invented a life-saving drug or a life-saving device or something that makes clean water, why would you keep that to yourself? You know, my view is that if you've got something that does great stuff for people, you ought to be putting it out there and helping as many people as possible.
I love it. So I think one of the other things that people think about for internationalization is what types of businesses would actually be a good fit? Because, for example, I'm an accountant and I can work from home and I'm comfortable and I have this market of clients that is on the West Coast of the US that I work with. Is that necessarily a business that would be a good fit to expand, or are there types of businesses that just are not a good fit?
let me take your accounting example first. Accounting is now a business that you can basically expand pretty much anywhere you want in the world. And let me give you an example that's really close to home. Our finance team works out of Chennai, India, and they do our finances from Chennai, India, even though our other key offices are in Sydney, Australia, and in San Francisco. And, you know, that team there is now gathering clients all over the world because with cloud computing and electronic software, they can do that. And I mean, I think it's a really, the accounting industry is a really pertinent example because with the rate that automation is moving at, a lot of jobs in accounting are actually going to go in the next 5 years. So a lot of those routine tasks are going to be able to be automated and taken by machines. And so accountants are going to be looking for more work to, you know, to augment what they already earn, and they're going to need new clients in order to do that. So accounting is an industry that, yeah, you actually can internationalize really successfully if you're a bit creative about how you do that. Now, what about industries that don't internationalize very well? You know, I think people would once upon a time have said, oh, well, you can't internationalize hairdressing. That's not possible. That is not true. I mean, you look at famous hairdressing chains like some of the French ones, like Pierre Haddad. That's a chain that started in Paris, and we now have it all over the world. It's even down here in Sydney. You know, even though that's a services business, they've taken a franchising and licensing model, and they've taken the way they do hairstyling and haircutting, and they've put that all over the world. So even services businesses can internationalize, and especially now with all the technology that we have available to us. The things that I think make bad choices for internationalization are things where there's no real point of difference and you are competing with other countries who can make things at a much, much lower price point. So, you know, if you take little plastic or metal widgets and you can produce them in the States or in Australia for a dollar a widget, and you want to sell all those around the world, and you're competing with somebody who is manufacturing exactly the same widget in China for 1 cent per widget, I think that's the kind of business that you don't really want to be looking at taking international, because it's going to be very, very different, difficult, unless you can find a real point of difference.
So in the States, we have a phrase called "do as I say, not as I do," which is really just a way of describing parents who tell their kids not to do things and then do them. So one of the things I like about what you're doing is that you're not just telling people to do something that you're not doing yourself. So you've recently started expanding into the US. Uh-huh. So can you talk a little bit about the decision-making, about why you personally decided to, and why you think this program would be a good fit for people elsewhere outside of Australia?
Yeah, look, I mean, we looked at where we wanted to expand the International Business Accelerator to, and I always knew that we wanted to expand it because Australia is a very tiny market. We have a maximum of consumers here of 25 million people, and that's if every single person in the country buys what you sell. So it's a very niche market. Now, at the moment, we only run the International Business Accelerator in English. So we needed to target places where people can operate comfortably in English. And so we had a couple of choices in mind. The UK is an obvious one. The US was an obvious one. One of the reasons that we have chosen the US is because it's a very, very large market. So, you know, there are many, many times more businesses in the States than there are in Australia. And there are a lot of people with a very entrepreneurial mindset who are looking for ways to take what they do and expand it overseas. And I guess for us, those were the two key drivers.
Thank you for your time. In the next episode, we're going to be talking about common mistakes people make as they begin their internationalization journey.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite platform. At the moment, you can subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes, but keep an eye out for more platforms coming soon.
You can also get more information at the website internationalbusinessaccelerator.com.